This morning, I want to invite you to think with me about how we can grow in gratitude. Thanksgiving is not just a holiday, but it is a Christian activity. As we prepare to thank God this week, as we prepare to gather with family and friends and celebrate Thanksgiving, we need to remember that thankfulness is key to understanding who we really are, what we understand, what we believe about God and the world around us. Gratitude, or the lack thereof, really reveals the core of who a person is. You see, their assumptions, their understanding of God and His ways. Billy Graham wisely said, "A spirit of thankfulness is one of the most distinctive marks of a Christian." Well, I think Billy got it absolutely right. Thankfulness is normal for the people of God, or at least it should be. You see, Christians are the ones who know what we really deserve. Because of our sin and rebellion against God, we deserve the very wrath of God. But God, who's rich in mercy and grace, He's been so good, so kind to us. Christians are the ones who recognize just how much grace God has bestowed upon us. Christians know what we should be thankful for, and we know who we should be thankful to. You see, you don't just thank. You thank someone. There's always an object of thanksgiving. So who is it that deserves our thanks? Well, it's the Lord Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. Listen to these words from Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 20, we are commanded, "Give thanks always and for everything to God the Father." So start there at the end. Who do we give the thanks to? We give it to God. God is the one who has supplied us with everything that we have. He is, yes, the maker and the sustainer of the world. He's given us every breath, every bite of food, everything we've ever enjoyed. God is the giver. Every good and perfect gift comes down from Him. This verse says that we should give thanks always and for everything to God the Father. Always? Everything? Yeah, that's what it says. But that's hard for us to swallow at times. Another verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, famously says, "Give thanks in all circumstances." Perhaps you've read the autobiography of Corrie Ten Boom. It's called A Hiding Place. Corrie Ten Boom and her family, they hid Jews from the Nazis. Unfortunately, eventually, they were caught. They were arrested. And Corrie and her sister, Betsy, were taken to a women's concentration camp. They had gone through a lot at this point of the story. And now they came into this barracks where the women were to sleep. They were going to be crammed in and smushed together. And while they looked about, they noticed that the place was crawling with fleas. How were they to bear this? That was their question. As the two sisters talked, Betsy said, "Well, God has given us the answer in this morning's reading." So she pulled out the Bible, and again she read what they had read that morning, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "Give thanks in all circumstances." So Betsy told her sister, "That's how we will bear it. We will give thanks." Again, they're in a concentration camp. Corrie was struggling to think how she could give thanks. But Betsy looked at her and said, "We can give thanks that we're together." Corrie agreed that she had not been separated from her sister was something to thank God for. And then she looked down at the Bible and she said, "We can thank God that we have His word. That by God's kindness, there was no inspection that took this Bible from us. They were able to sneak a Bible into this concentration camp." Again, Corrie agreed. This was incredible. Well, Betsy went on to pray, thanking God for various things. She said, "Thank you, God, for the fleas." Well, at this, Corrie was confused, and she actually interrupted her sister. She said, "There's nothing you can do to make me grateful for fleas." But Betsy reminded her that the text did not say, give thanks in pleasant circumstances. The text said, give thanks in all circumstances. Corey trusted God. And although it was hard and difficult, she agreed that she needed to do what God had said. So she prayed out loud with her sister, thank you, God, for the fleas. But not really knowing why, just out of trust. Well, as the story goes on, she describes how in the evenings, as the women were all crammed together in these barracks, the guards would not come in. She would leave them alone. And so they were able to open and read the scripture aloud. And many women got to be encouraged and strengthened by the word of God. Well, weeks went on before they found out the very reason that the guards would not come into their barracks. They found out it was because of the fleas. The guards didn't want to come in because there were all of these fleas. And then the sisters realized, thank God for the fleas. God knew just what he was doing. And see, that's always our hope. It's hard to give thanks when we're in pain or suffering or when we're being sinned against. But we have to remember that God is not done. He is working all things together for our good. So brothers and sisters, I don't know if you're encouraged as you move towards this holiday season, or if you're in a time of despair, frustration, pain, sickness. Whatever it is, I want to call you to give thanks in all circumstances. The Lord knows what he's doing. Next, I want to call your attention to Psalm 106. So if you've got a Bible, turn there with me. Psalm 106. We're going to think together about this first verse. While you're turning there, I want to say publicly that I am thankful for lots and lots of things. I thank God for our church. I thank God for each one of you who's watching this video. I'm thankful that we regularly get to gather together as the people of God. I'm thankful for the gospel focus and the commitment to the truth of Scripture that our church has. I'm thankful for the relationships that we have with one another that encourage and challenge one another. I'm thankful for the perceptive questions that are asked in Bible study and for those who are willing to share their difficulties with one another and ask for help. I'm thankful for the many who serve our church in various ways. I'm thankful to our deacons and our trustees. I'm so glad that God has given them wisdom and the willingness to do hard work and to sweat for the good of the body. I'm thankful for those who prepare meals so that we can gather together for times of fellowship. And prepare meals for those who are unable to come, for those who are sick at home. I'm thankful for those who come and lock and unlock the door. I'm thankful for the security team. I'm thankful for those who run the sound and for those who are doing all kinds of things behind the scenes. There are many in our church who use their skill and expertise to help, to serve the body in ways that you don't always know about. But I, as a pastor, I'm privileged to find out about lots of ways in which people are serving. I'm so thankful to get to be the pastor of a loving, generous, kind people. I'm thankful to everyone who makes our Sunday morning gatherings a priority in their life. They know this is important, so they schedule being together with the people of God again and again. I'm thankful for those who sing heartily unto the Lord when we gather together. It is a great encouragement. I'm thankful for those who give to support the work of the ministry, both here and abroad. I'm so thankful for brothers and sisters that are sharing their lives together. Now, I know that seems like a lot, and yet that's just the area of our church that I could think about in the last week. I haven't even got into how the Lord has provided so much for each one of us. I haven't talked about how God provides so many different aspects of life. The truth is, we have lots to be thankful for. And the top of our list should be the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, how thankful we should be that even though we are sinners, rebels against God, He was loving enough to send Jesus to live a perfect life and then to die a substitutionary death so that our sins could be forgiven. Oh, thank God for Jesus. All right, it's time to finally look to the text. Psalm 106, verse 1 tells us this. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. We're given two commands in this verse, to praise the Lord and to give thanks to the Lord. And we're given two reasons that we should do so. Look at it again. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. And then again, for His steadfast love endures forever. This is what Christians do. We praise God and we thank God because we recognize who He is and what He has done. You know, if God were merely great, He would be praiseworthy. If He had all the might and all the power, but He wasn't good, He would still owe Him praise. But because He is good and especially good to us, we don't only have praise, we also have thanksgiving. We are so thankful for His mercy, for His grace, for His long suffering with us, for His willingness to forgive. We praise Him because of His greatness. We thank Him because of His goodness. This text says, praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His steadfast love endures forever. So we know God loves us, but here we're told that His love is a steadfast love, a love that remains, a love that continues on. His steadfast love endures. Well, that's kind of like saying steadfast. It presses on. It keeps going. It perseveres. The steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. It's as if He said it three times over now. The Lord's love has no end. It just keeps going and going and going. Oh, we should give thanks that the Lord is good and that His steadfast love endures forever. You see, this should be just the way in which we see the world. This should be our outlook. This should be standard procedure for the Christian. I'm going to draw our attention to yet another psalm on the same theme. So flip to the left a little bit. Psalm 92. Psalm 92. Again, we're just going to look at the first verse. Notice a similar theme. The psalm begins this way. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to His name, O Most High. So again, we're supposed to thank and praise the Lord. We're told it is good to give thanks to the Lord. It is good to sing praises to His name. Now, if it's good to give thanks to the Lord, that means it's bad not to give thanks to the Lord. It's wrong to fail to thank God. You know, all a person has to do to be ungrateful is nothing. This is a way in which we sin by omission. We sin by simply failing to thank God for His goodness to us. And sadly, that's not the end of it. We're even worse than that. Not only do we fail to thank God, but we actually complain and grumble. Now, I'm actually having to preach to myself here too. In that complaint, it just comes so naturally, so easy. There's probably not a week in my life where I don't complain about something. But when I do so, I'm sinning. It's wrong. We should not complain. The scripture tells us to do everything without complaining, without grumbling. What's so bad with complaining? Well, complaining and grumbling are the total opposite of what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to thank God for His goodness. We're going in the opposite direction when we're grumbling and complaining. One more text. Go to the New Testament now. Let's go look in Romans chapter 1. Here Paul speaks of the guilt of mankind. He's describing humanity. Romans 1 verse 19, we read this. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. This is the indictment of humanity. Each one of us has sinned, and we've actually sinned in this way. We have failed to honor God as God, and we failed to give him thanks. Look back at verse 21. Although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him as God. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. See, this is what happens. When you're thinking rightly, you're thinking God. But when you're grumbling and complaining, when you're refusing to honor, to praise, to give thanks, to show gratitude to God, your thinking is distorted. Your very thinking is foolish and wrong. God should not show us kindness. We have been ungrateful. We're sinners. And yet God, in his mercy and grace, he doesn't give us what we deserve. He has shown us mercy. He's given us his love. When people are thinking rightly, they're thankful to God, and they say so. They tell others how thankful they are to God. When people are not thankful to God, they do the opposite. When we complain against God, we're actually saying out loud that God is not doing a good job providing for us. God is not a good provider. That's not true. That's a lie. See, that's what makes complaining and grumbling sinful. It's false. It's not speaking the truth. When we grumble and complain, we're saying that God is not taking good care of us, that he's not ruling the universe well. The truth is, our God is gracious to us. He has given us so much. When we grumble and complain, it's actually a form of blasphemy. We are saying false things about God. The truth is, he has given us so much, and so we have no reason to complain. There is no occasion in life when I can rightfully say, I don't need to thank God for that because God didn't give it to me. No, God has given us all things. He deserves our thanks. Instead of complaining, we need to be content. Instead of grumbling, we need gratitude in our hearts. Contentment is being thankful for what God has given. Gratitude sees the grace of God in every situation. A grumbling heart, on the other hand, says that God isn't treating me right. A grumbling heart assumes that I'm wiser than the all-wise God. Oh, that God would give us gratitude to recognize God's grace throughout our lives. So this morning, how do we grow in gratitude? How do we get better at thanking God? Well, quite simply, we count our blessings. We name them one by one. We just stop what we're doing and we just recognize that God has given us so much. So, an example. This week, you're going to gather together with friends or family for Thanksgiving. Perhaps you could take some time before that gathering and jot a note down about things you're thankful about each person there. And then talk to God about it and even tell those people about it. That's just one way we could grow in this. We need to take time to thank God. We need to do it much more often. Most of all, we want to thank God for what he has done to save sinners. Oh, how we should be regularly thanking God for his limitless love. Oh, how we should thank him for his benevolence, for his tender care, for his kindness towards us. We should thank him for his abundant provision, but especially the provision of Jesus. God so loved us that he sent his son to live a perfect life and to die the death that we should have died so that our sins could be forgiven. Oh, we should be a thankful people. Our hearts should be filled with gratitude. Sinners saved by grace should know just how much we have to be thankful for. Paul in 2 Corinthians, he's describing the surpassing grace of Christ. He says this in chapter 9, verse 15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Indeed, the gospel, Jesus coming and paying the penalty that we deserve, bearing the wrath of God for us, is indescribable. It's a gift more than we can truly comprehend. Oh, we should give thanks to the Lord. So this week, I want to encourage you. I hope that you have a happy Thanksgiving. And as you move towards this holiday, I want to remind you that giving thanks is one of the most Christian things you can ever do. Listen once again to the words of Psalm 106. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let's pray together. Lord God, we confess that we often are ungrateful, that we take things for granted. We don't give you the credit that is due your name. So Lord, we stop right now and we say thank you. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you for our church. Thank you for our family. Thank you for our health. Thank you for what you are doing in the world. Lord, we pray that when we're tempted to complain and grumble, that you will help us to not believe those lies, but to remember the truth that our good God is working all things together for our good, that he's not done with the situation. And so even if it seems difficult or painful or hard, we can give thanks. Lord, help us to give thanks with grateful hearts. Lord, I pray for all who are hearing my voice right now, that you would bless them and keep them, that your countenance would rise upon them, that you would give them grace and peace and contentment. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and I hope to see you at church next week. Lord bless you.